Welcome to Real Geeks Presents the B-Roll, B for Black Panther. I gotta jump right into it right after. Of course, I am Crescent Bird. He is Mike Montgomery. A trailer just dropped and I am stupid hype.
And, well, I was going to get to the trailer later on, but...
No, trailer now!
I'm just going to say, I don't think she's going to let me.
Amazing.
This was... Oh, my God. This is kind of fascinating because it's that standard trailer formula where you get the teaser and then you get the... Okay, here's basically what you're going to get in the movie trailer. And I think the next one is going to be the story trailer.
Yeah, which will give us a little bit more. We'll probably have a perspective trailer, likely from Shuri, seemingly.
Yeah, it's... I think probably one of the most fascinating things here is how we finally get to see the new Black Panther... And we, officially, they still have not said that it's Shuri.
Yeah.
But, like, you gotta figure the entire fandom is going, oh, come on now.
And, like, if I recall, she, the new Black Panther mask, and we're just jumping right to the end of the trailer. The new Black Panther mask who arrives at the end of the trailer much the same way T'Challa did at the beginning of... the Black Panther movie, dropping out of a drop ship and just like landing like a cat. Weird. if I recall, the new Black Panther costume has the same markings Shuri did when going into battle against Thanos.
Yeah.
So all but confirmed. Unless those markings mean, like, warrior, but I don't see the Dora Milaje wearing them, so...
No, it's... Now, I didn't actually watch the video that I'm about to mention just because it's a fan theory video, and frankly, those I normally don't bother with. But on the thumbnail for this thing on YouTube, it specifically points out... that the Black Panther mask has the same markings that Shuri does earlier in the trailer in what I'm assuming is funeral garb.
That as well. Like maybe I don't know, maybe it's the traditional appearance of like the princess in official capacities. So if she's on the warpath for Wakanda, she wears this. If she's at a funeral for Wakanda, like a state funeral, she wears this. I'm trying to remember what she wore at her brother's coronation / fight with M'Baku.
I think it was kind of African ceremonial garb.
She didn't have the spots on.
Very jewelry heavy. She might have, but I think it would have been a different design.
And I suspect the spots are somewhat combat related. Like maybe T'Challa died on a mission or something, and you know, it's a whole, you know, warrior's death thing. Who knows? We have no idea. And isn't that just so exciting? Because like none of this is based on comic books. This is based on an actual person in this, like in the sense that the way they are approaching T'Challa and his death and everything, that didn't happen in the comic books. This is not based on a storyline from the comics. This is based on the fact that the actor died and was so beloved and perfect for the role. They have effectively made him one and the same person. And so we get to see the Marvel Universe and the actors and the culture mourn him as a plot. It's completely, well, this is new. This is fucking new.
We're actually going to wander away from the trailer for a second, just because my original plan was to discuss the trailer in combination with an article from IndieWire that just dropped. where, amongst other things, director Ryan Coogler talks about how he almost quit filmmaking entirely because of Chadwick Boseman's death. Like, not just Black Panther. He considered walking away from the industry.
Yeah, and, like, that can happen. It's one of those things of when you find, like, a really rich creative partner, and then that just gets ripped away from you when you're like, no, we had plans. Everything seems sour after, and it's, you know, it's fantastic that he did not walk away from the industry. I'm so happy that they're making this instead. Well, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, it's just to read a couple of quotes here. Quote, I was at a point where when I was like, I'm walking away from this business. I didn't know if I could make another movie, period, let alone another Black Panther movie, because it hurt a lot. I was like, man, how could I open myself up to feeling this again? And Coogler goes on to say, I was poring over a lot of our conversations that we had, referring to Chadwick Boseman, towards what I realized was the end of his life. I decided that it made more sense to keep going. That's so good. It's kind of beautiful how it was. He almost quit filmmaking because of the loss of Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
But decided to stay in and make Black Panther Wakanda Forever
because of Chadwick Boseman. Yeah, yeah. There is a documentary that is waiting to be, like, you know, not so much a documentary, but like more like a 2-hour like celebration in documentary style. That would probably, like, tentatively, it would be the making of Black Panther. Like, that's what it would be on paper. But really, it's like the last great work of this artist and everything and all the relationships and everything. And, like, the thing about most of the footage and everything there, he would, you know, like, people didn't know he was dying. So it'd all be, all of it would be just, like, happy footage and then people reminiscing and happy footage and people reminiscing. And it's like, there is an Oscar award-winning documentary memorial just waiting there that...
Oh, yeah.
Sweet fucking Jesus. Rip hearts out, make piles of money, and, like, immortalize him for years to come kind of thing. And not that he isn't already, as, you know, the Black Panther.
Yeah, like, they say that a person's legacy is measured in what they left behind. And you look at how the call sheet for Wakanda Forever, the first slot on there was still Chadwick's.
Yeah. And he's very present in this trailer. There is literally an image of him in one of it, but that's too literal. I mean, it's quite literal, but he is in every single shot of this trailer. The story that they decided to tell seemingly is specifically in reaction to it. Like, even what's Namor, you're seeing Namor through the lens of here is the opposite of T'Challa and what fills the void in this greater world when you don't have T'Challa. You get Namor, and he glares at you and makes you feel weird feelings inside, self-loathing, and also, God, he's hot. He hates me so much. Look at him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, accurate, but just to add to what I was talking about Chadwick's legacy, in the same IndieWire article, it's mentioned how Kevin Feige had recently addressed why T'Challa was not recast, and what he said was, quote, it just felt like it was much too soon, and this is an interview with Empire magazine. Stan Lee always said that Marvel represents the world outside your window. And we had talked about how, as extraordinary and fantastical as our characters and stories are, there's a relatable and human element to everything we do. the world is still processing the loss of Chad, and Ryan Coogler poured that into the story.
Nice. I'm so looking forward to this. This is going to be the least most depressing Remembrance Day ever. since the last time you actually thought what it meant. Oh, God.
Yeah, like, I saw the November 11th release date on the trailer, and I was like, well played, Marvel Studios. I gotta say, that was well played.
Somewhat crass, but also, yeah. Well done. I'm very much looking forward to it. It looks awesome, of course. We get a couple of shots, a tiny little bit of shots of Riri as Ironheart. And it is indeed the suit that was leaked by the toy. And it is indeed very Ultimate Universe Tony Stark Mark, well, not technically Mark 1, but the first time Tony Stark Ultimate appears in the Ultimates, he is flying a chunkier version of the suit that Riri builds in this movie. It's hers and the one that was created way back in like 2000 by, oh my God, why have I forgotten who wrote that? It doesn't matter. Everyone who's read it knew. they both took inspiration from anime intentionally. Because in the late 90s, Marvel had a spin-off, like, semi-publication wing that did anime. But they did Marvel anime. So there was, like, Iron Man anime.
Yeah.
And there was...
I was going to say, Iron Man. I know there was the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there was a Spider-Man one. Something related to the Punisher. There's at least
there's other Punisher to read at the time. Thank you.
fair enough. I didn't watch it. I was just sitting here trying to remember the ones that I saw existed.
But in those pages, the artists were given a lot more freedom to do whatever the hell they wanted with the designs. And they came up with some amazing Iron Man designs that completely redefined how people had thought about the character as like an approach to the suit.
Yeah.
And like, the character was stale by then. He was so stale. No one gave a crap about him, and all his suits still had the same general, like, look. Like, even up to the Extremis storyline, it's like, essentially spandex. But then you have to remember, every now and then, it's like, oh, no, but it's armor. It's hard armor that happens to flex. And it's like, oh, no. Just, anyway, eventually, thanks to the anime, they were like, fuck that shit. It's a suit of armor. It's got pieces, and it goes, and so when they designed the Ultimate one, it's a fucking tank. Like, it's essentially strapping yourself into a tiny jet, and like, it's got control buttons, and it's got interfaces, it's got padding on the inside. To take it off, you have to like remove multiple sections of it, and he's always covered in a green goo inside that's like hyperconductive. People started thinking more about it. And from that design, and of course the Ultimates, you get the MCU and their approach to Tony. By the time you reach the Iron Man suit looking like a superhero costume, like very painted on spandexy, it's Infinity War. And you've gone through, I think, like 70-something iterations of the suit.
Give or take,
To have him get to nanotech. And it's like, okay, they've taken their time. They've slowly built to it. You can do that. But, oh, God, the fun watching the early suits go veep, 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 veep. You know, as he puts them on and takes them off. And I look forward to seeing more of that from Riri, where we just get, like, crazy ass engineering designs. Just go.
Yeah, especially with, like, just to add on to that, I would assume that they're probably drawing from multiple places then, because when I saw the suit, as I've said before, I am not super familiar with Riri, like, at all. But I do remember a couple of panels from the test flight of her very first suit. Like, the one that she built in the college dorm and got her on, like, Stark radar and so forth, which was that same big bulky design. So I'm thinking, like, maybe they pulled from, like, both places.
It's likely, because by the time they came up with Riri, I'm pretty sure the Ultimate Universe was either dying or dead. It would have been a good reference, just a good way of being like, you know, it rhymes. It's like poetry.
Oh, no doubt. And with a lot of the other things that they're doing in Wakanda Forever, or at least what we can assume they're doing just from the trailer, there's probably going to be an awful lot of that poetry.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get a lot of, like ebbs and flows. This representing multiple things, this representing multiple things. It's going to be so cool seeing how they manage. Like, so Wakanda's always been on the front step. They are, like, they're on the forward step. They are the more technologically advanced, the more socially progressive, they are the better civilization on Earth. They are the top tier. And it's really interesting to see them, like, suddenly be on like, the back step. They're being pushed by another advanced as fuck civilization that just, like, on a normal day, yeah, probably Wakanda could hold their own against them, no problem. But right now things are a little unstable, and they decide to go for the fucking jugular, and it's like, that is something we have not seen before. Like, Wakanda its own stood up to the forces of Thanos.
Yeah.
You know, what? There are entire planets out there that fell under this guy, and, like, their main city was like, oh, just put the shields up. Fuck them. You know, there was a way, if they had enough time, like, that was a race. If they had enough time, they could have held out against Thanos and defeated him. They were purely stuck with, like, you know, trying to stop him from getting the Infinity Stones, and, like, I would like to see a siege. That would be fascinating. Like, how long could they withstand a siege?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of wondering if that might actually happen, just because from what we see in the trailer, there are points where it almost looks like whatever replaced S.H.I.E.L.D. or the American government has looked at Wakanda and gone, y'all are the most technologically powerful nation on this planet, and you are unstable as hell right now, so we're maybe just gonna move on in there and install democracy.
Oh, that's a bad idea. And yeah, like, doing it through Namor, essentially. Like, okay, well, we'll just trick him into doing it, and we'll clean up the pieces afterwards. Having Everett Ross have to be, like, a reluctant villain, or even be like, well, I'm sorry, you, when shit hits the fan, the truth is you are a threat to our state, because you're a foreign state who's more powerful than us. And it's, you know, if you look at realistic American foreign policy, their answer would be, oh, fuck you.
Exactly.
So, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, and, like, there are a lot of things that can fit into that basic theory, because, like, I know that there are a number of people who are suggesting that Wakanda Forever is going to set up Doctor Doom in Latveria. So
I think it's too soon. I can see how it works. It makes sense because, first of all, Namor and Doom have a relationship. It's a complex one, but like if you ever have a bunch of world leaders at the same table, Namor and Doom will just keep exchanging looks like, are you fucking kidding with these people? Elected officials, they're such peons. And it just right. You know, they have a decent decent rapport, and so you could definitely see that, like, once inevitably Namor gets and his nation gets beaten back at the end of this, maybe turning to Latveria and being like, you know, I can't trade with these people. You want to hook up for some sweet diplomacy? Sweet diplomacy. Green on green. Come on, baby. Green on green.
Yeah, like if the thing with the MCU fandom is that they'll have the right theory, but they'll have it like two years too early.
Yeah, because they're impatient. And like,
exactly.
This is me being impatient, saying like, ah, here's how Dr. Doom will appear. I'll tell you how Dr. Doom will appear. He'll probably appear fucking at the end of the first part of the Avengers two-parter. Like the Kang Dynasty, I think is that one. And then he'll get rolled into Infinity War, or not Infinity War, Secret Wars.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to introduce Doom because they're going to hold off knowing you want Doom. And to have is not nearly as impressive as to desire Doom.
Oh yeah, also, I'm wondering, and I also kind of have to give a bit of credit to TikTok content creator Straw Hat Goofy for this, because it was one of his posts that kind of got me thinking along this line, where he highlighted Namor's line, "Only the most broken people make the best leaders."
Mm.
So I'm wondering if it's actually going to be kind of Shuri and Namor are in kind of similar places emotionally and kind of mirroring each other. And you have political things happening where the old guard is being manipulated. Like Queen Ramonda is going to be back in power in Wakanda. And she's, from what we've seen, she's clearly at some point going to be ready to go to war. Because, again, you don't mess with Angela Bassett.
Glare right in her face. Right in her face.
But I'm wondering if it's going to be the standard. Something happens where the world leaders are manipulated to think that Wakanda attacked a base or something. But it was really Atlantis did it. And they almost go to war, and it's the Shuri and Namor almost come to blows, realize they're similar, and that there's another threat that they have to work together to stop.
Yeah, and I presume it'll roughly follow that. The war does have it. So the Chadwick Boseman aspect of T'Challa dying storyline, that's new. That's not been done before.
Yeah.
The Atlantis versus Wakanda war is a thing that happened. It was a really great story run. And as we see in this trailer, Wakanda gets flooded.
Like, yep.
And to be very clear, Wakanda is not a coastal nation. It's on some very large rivers. And so the water has to go up these long, deep rivers. And, like, a lot of other people would get displaced to fucking sink Wakanda. It would take a lot. Especially since half of it's a mountainous region. So
yeah,
you're,
yeah,
like,
I was just gonna
schlepping
say,
that fucking wave uphill.
Yeah, like, we've already seen some of the cliffs on on the Wakandan borders, and they're kind of high up.
Yeah. Now, I presume that the lowlands, and seemingly that's where the capital is, gets flooded, and they have to go to the highlands, and that's when you get the shot with like the transports going into the mountains, and M'Baku's like, you can't fight this guy. He's not a king, he's not a general, he's a god. You know, and that's gonna be really interesting to see him be like, well, I mean, you can stay here, I guess, but we're not, you might as well just call off the rest. Like, he's got the low-laying areas. Just call that New Atlantis and move on.
Oh. But, yeah, as we said, that's going to be November 11th. And bring some Kleenex, bring your handkerchief, whatever, because there is not going to be a dry eye in that theater by the end of Act 1.
Oh, yeah. And already some are booking double showings. So, like, first, before you see the premiere of Wakanda Forever, you see Black Panther. And it's like, oh, ooh, good. Priming. Yeah. Emotional priming. Just fucking destroy me. Wreck me, please.
Well, let's be honest. That's what the MCU is here for.
We're gonna stab you right in the heart, but you're gonna enjoy it. Ah! Oh, it's so good. Ah!
Oh, but with that, and we, needless to say, are going to get back to the MCU a little later on. But while we're on the subject of celebrity death, we, of course, had a couple celebrities recently pass, and we're not going to cover Coolio just because everybody else on the planet has.
Mad respect to Coolio. I once got kicked out of a Sam the Record Man for trying to buy a copy of his album way back in the mid-90s. So, re-release, because I'm sure they've buried it in the vault by now, re-release the R-rated Daredevil cut with extended Coolio scenes. You bastards.
Yeah, definitely, if you can find it, check out the extended version of Daredevil, because that's the only way you're going to see those Coolio scenes.
Yeah, two really, really interesting things happened to make that extended edition R-rated. One, they have a bunch of scenes where Coolio is in it. He's playing a defendant, and it's just, like, more of his trial and story.
Yeah.
That's it. Spoiler, he gets off at the end, but they say a swears, and so that's why it was worth paying $20 back in 2005, I want to say. Yeah, it was not worth it. But they said a swears.
So, like I said, we're not going to go into Coolio's passing too much, but what we are going to do, just because I saw this earlier today and it is both adorable and funny to me, we're going to drop in Coolio's performance of 1, 2, 3, 4 on Muppets Tonight right here.
You want to see hip? We'll show you hip.
Everybody, so glad you're here. It's Coolio with the flow back in your ear. This ain't a fantastic voice, but I'm still on a mission to see if I can get your attention. Now I want to drop some information, just a little additive to your education. I live my life by the code of the folk, 600 watt M18s in the trunk. When I'm on the street, you gotta feel my beat, so throw your hands up if you're down with the seat. Double O-L-I-O with the flow. I'm looking for the party, so let them up and know. 1, 2, 3, it's like ABC. If hip hop didn't pay, I rap for free. Slide, slide, but that's the path. I got something brand new for your class.
1, 2, 3, 4, get your Atlanta.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get your woman on the floor. Gotta get up and get down. Gotta get up and get down.
Now somebody, anybody, everybody.
What we are going to do instead is, you know the rule how there will be two celebrity deaths simultaneously and one completely overshadows the other one?
Yes, they must fight for our attention even in death.
We're going to cover the other one.
Aha!
Specifically, the recent passing of Oscar-winning actress Louise Fletcher, who died at the age of 88. Now, most people will, of course, know her as Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us of the more geekier mind frame will remember her for something a little more recent.
I hope you found our talks as rewarding as I have, Your Eminence. May I inquire if you plan on giving the First Minister a positive recommendation regarding the Non-Aggression Pact?
I'm afraid I cannot reveal my recommendations to the First Minister. You understand.
Of course. Of course, forgive me for even asking. It is enough to know that you and I have found so many common interests. I feel that we are very much alike.
No, we are nothing alike. Nothing at all.
Well, you know, in the end, I think Shikai won. she was, like, listen, Gul Dukat is a fantastic villain.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All the villains on DS9 are fantastic. Like, all of them, There isn't a bad villain, like main cast Dominion villain in that film. But Kai Winn was the only villain on that show that made you fucking hate the character. Like, Gul Dukat was entertaining to watch. The founders are mysterious and kind of like, ooh, fascinating. The Wayoons are entertaining and comedic.
Oh yeah.
They're just fun. It's fun to watch a Wayoon die.
Yeah, no, it's like whatever gets Jeffrey Combs onto our screen.
Jeffrey Combs being the nicest genocidal asshole on earth. Just so nice. If you could just die, please. Fantastic. But Kai Winn. Kai Winn, the second she is on screen, you fucking hated every minute of it. Not because it's a bad performance, because it's so good. And you just, why won't you just be airlocked, you bitch? Just step into the airlock and press the button.
Yeah.
Make us all happy.
Like, I kind of thought of it like this. Gul Dukat was DS9's Lex Luthor. Kai Winn was DS9's Magneto. In that she was the villain who, in her mind, was doing all of these what we knew are evil things. She thought she was doing all of this for the right reasons. She thought she was doing all of these things for the betterment of her people.
I can see that. Because I tend to agree with Magneto, I'm going to say no. Magneto was pretty much right, mostly. whereas Kai Winn was very wrong. A guy is Baltar. Except in
that
the
also
end,
works. That also works.
Gaius got away with it and got to live with a hot chick of his dreams. and Kai Winn burned. Yay! She burned! An amazing performance from an amazing actress amazing career. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and she's kind of like, she's, if nothing else, go on to IMDb, just look through her credits, pick out any like three movies and go watch them.
Yeah, and I absolutely suggest just go to the Fountainhead on this one. Go right to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kai Winn is restrained. Like, Kai Winn is a cartoon character. Nurse Ratched is terrifying in a very real way.
And, I mean, also, quick side note, she actually was in a movie that we've already covered. Because she was in the original Firestarter.
Oh yeah, she was. Yeah.
The couple at the farmhouse?
Mm-hmm.
She was the wife.
Being kindly, very out of character.
Oh, so very out of character.
So good, so bad, so good. Although, actually, no, like, her ability to perform complex villains is that she can, you can, as you said, you can see where she's coming from. Even Nurse Ratched, it's a banal mechanical evil where it's like, I'm doing my job. My job is this for your health benefit. This is for your benefit. Every horrible thing I'm doing is for your benefit. And the same with Kai Winn, where it's like, no, this is for spiritual benefit. This, trust me, at the end of all this fucking suffering, we're gonna get, you know, like, we're gonna get to paradise. I know, it's just another 39 fucking years in the desert. You know, it's like, and at the time, you hate the motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
And the difference is with Kai Winn, she accidentally starts worshiping the devil. Hail Satan. Hail wormhole Satan.
Now, one final note before we move on. I was just looking actually through her IMDb listing myself, and we know that I love the B movies. We know I love those low budget. You shouldn't have done it, but I applaud you for having the balls to do it anyway, movies.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, my Louise Fletcher recommendation is Grizzly 2, Revenge.
Jesus Christ. She must have had a car payment or something for that one. That's bad.
From what I've heard about Grizzly 2, she was not getting a car payment from Grizzly 2.
Oh no. Oh no. Well, watch that and cringe. It's horror, but not the same kind.
I would guess that it's on YouTube. I'm sure there's a fan who put it up there somewhere.
Yeah, if it's not on YouTube, it's definitely on Tubi.
This is very much one of those. I think the only way you're really going to find it is digital.
Try the Internet Archive. It might even be there. A pile of fucking random shit. Love it.
Moving on. You remember those pictures from the Barbie movie that everybody was just losing their minds in praise over?
Indeed.
Apparently, according to IndieWire, there was actually one person who was, quote, mortified by the leaked photos.
Yeah, I read this.
And that person was actually Margot Robbie.
Which, like, I can understand why it's a performer thing. It's like a performer-producer thing where it's like, first of all, I've lost set security. Second of all, I'm trying to do a thing here and not have it be spoiled or, like, presented. There's probably things that aren't included in the photo and everything. But it's also like, did she miss how everyone went, oh my fucking God, this looks amazing? People weren't like, ah, they were, yeah. So I understand where she's coming from. Yeah. But it's like, it's going to be okay. Everyone is fucking down with this.
I do kind of get her logic, because I think her fear was predominantly when the photos were first released, like that point where you're on set looking ridiculous, these photos come out, you don't know how people are going to react. And so she was on the Tonight Show promoting her upcoming film Amsterdam. When she was asked about the photos, and quote, "I can't tell you how mortified we were, by the way. We look like we're like laughing and having fun, but dying on the inside. Dying." I was like, this is the most humiliating moment of my life. Jimmy Fallon went on to ask Robbie if she realized the Barbie photos would be dissected over the internet upon release. "No! I mean, I knew that we had some exteriors to shoot in LA. I knew, okay, once you were doing exteriors, you were going to get papped," specifically referring to the paparazzi. There's probably going to be a little crowd of people who are going to stand out because, you know, we stand out a little bit in those outfits. So I knew there was going to be a little bit of attention and probably some photos would get out there, but not like it did. It was like mad. It was like hundreds of people watching.
You know, that's the first time I've actually been semi-worried about this, because I thought the whole point was go so hard, look so ridiculous, like full on. And if she's like, "Oh, it's so embarrassing being in these costumes," it's like, I'm sorry, I thought you were in on the joke. Like this is like buying William Shatner's IP, buying William Shatner's LP, assuming that he got the joke and realizing that no, he truly thinks he's a great singer. Oh no.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're probably right, but like I'm reading this, and as I kind of said earlier, I'm kind of wondering how much of this was just shock at the time.
I can understand shock, but also, yeah. First of all, obviously, you know that your outfits are going to get dissected on the internet. This is not your first time. You've played Harley Quinn. You know what the internet will do. Second, again, yeah, no, I gotta say, like, shocked. If you know that you're doing pickups outside and shit, exterior shots, just be like, well, that's it. I expect to see photos on the internet within an hour of like reaching my trailer at the end of it. I don't know why. It's a very strange coy play to, like, I assume the naive ignorance of middle America audiences, where it's just like, oh yeah, it was so embarrassing. It's like, aren't you a professional in this industry? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Haven't you experienced this? Yes. Okay, so you're not just flying blind? No, I was bullshitting. It's like, okay. I mean, she is a great actress. Maybe she was performing.
Oh, yeah.
Show, you know, like, yeah. I don't think she's that naive, frankly. I hope.
Oh, no, I don't either. No, I don't either. Yeah. I think this is one of those. I wish I could go and find the actual interview.
Hmm.
Because like I said, I kind of get where she's coming from, but I'm also going, did she say other things not included here that would give more context?
Yeah, and even with the full broadcast cut of the interview, because it's a late show, it's probably not the full cut.
Exactly.
Nope. So who the fuck knows? Only the studio audience. Damn it.
Now, sticking with actresses' reactions to photos. Now, you know how we haven't seen Chloe Grace Moretz in a film in a fair while?
Yes, you want? To the point that I need a moment to be like, whom?
fair enough. And I was just going to say... You want to know why?
Sure.
Now, also, you know how I'm pretty much on record as utterly despising the mentality that celebrities are somehow more deserving of scorn and being berated for their body image and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe Grace Moretz basically developed body dysmorphia from a Family Guy meme.
Okay, so who was she?
The easiest reference that I can think of off the top of my head would have been Hit Girl.
Okay, fair enough. And what, like, did they tell a joke about her specifically?
Literally all it is it's a meme where it's literally all it is the left side of the image is Moretz carrying a couple of pizzas, and on the right side is a Family Guy image of it's kind of Peter in drag but all leg and no torso.
Oh, I see. Fascinating. I've never seen the photo of her. I'm familiar with the Family Guy joke. Was that about her? I don't remember that being about her. I thought that was about just like having long legs, no body. But I assume the internet made this into a thing.
Yeah, it was. I think this is more of an internet thing because I'm looking at the image. The Family Guy half of the image does not seem to reference her directly. And yeah. It looks like somebody took what is essentially a poorly shot image of Moretz, because when I saw this story, I went on a Google image search and looked at other images of her. And needless to say, she does not look like that. It's a badly taken photo.
Yeah, if you take enough photos of people, you'll have them doing all kinds of weird shit and looking weird and disfigured or what have you, based on just like moments and movements at that moment. Like, you know, if you can't see in motion and someone's in motion, you end up with some very strange positions sometimes. And that fucking sucks that drove her to have like extreme dysmorphia. That fucking sucks. And the internet is a hell.
Yeah.
And yeah, shit.
Yeah. Here's specifically what she said about it. Quote, "I've actually never really talked about this, but there was one meme that really affected me of me walking into a hotel with a pizza box in my hand. And this photo got manipulated into a character from Family Guy with the long legs and the short torso. And it was one of the most widespread memes at the time. Everyone was making fun of my body, and I brought it up with someone, and they were like, 'Oh, shut the fuck up. It's funny.' And clearly, no, it's not."
I mean, it's not. And I've never seen it before. So it's like, it's not even like, like funny enough to have made the rounds, really. Like, maybe in her, if you're paying attention to like certain search vectors, and her name pops up, it was for a while tied to that more than anything else, and that fucking sucks. Yeah, don't listen to the internet.
Yeah, no, seriously, please don't. She went on to say. And I just remember sitting there and thinking, my body is being used as a joke, and it's something that I can't change about who I am, and it's being posted all over Instagram. It was something so benign as walking into a hotel with leftovers, and to this day, when I see that meme, it's something very hard for me to overcome. I think that body dysmorphia, which we all deal with in this world, is extrapolated by the issues of social media. It's a head fuck.
Yeah. No, it is. And
Yeah.
There's nothing you can really do about that aside from like wait for it to just drop off the face of the earth inevitably. As all memes do. Because it's entirely out of her hands and it's nothing she did. It's purely just the random idiot chance of what people pick up on the internet. Fuck, you know?
Yeah, and it, like, at the very least, keep in mind when you're going to put out a meme, like, yes, they do have an extremely short shelf life generally. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, you had never seen it before. I had never seen it before. I saw that article.
Yeah, but then again, we're not sitting on a paid bots that look for search terms relevant to, say, your actor client, like their agent would. You know, like you want to know how active their name is online, and if you start looking at that and it suddenly starts coming up mostly attached to that meme, then that poor celebrity is going to get reports about it. And like it's one of those things where it's like it's immediate feedback, which is good for the industry because it requires immediate feedback, but it's also like it's fucking low value feedback that suddenly you've been picked up by a meme. Can cut both ways. You can use it for a little attention. You can riff on it and have some fun. But like, it's very rare that you can do that, and you can't. Like, it's a shame that the fact is she definitely, by bringing it up years after the fact and like mentioning it, she's accidentally Streisand it back into like it probably now has far more hits than it ever did. And it's like, you can't even just like talk about it without it getting worse.
And that actually might be the most unfortunate, because it's, you can't talk about it without that risk of doing even more damage.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't recover from it without talking about it.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh. Mm. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, like the only thing I would say here is, like I said, yes, memes, extremely short shelf life and all that. They may not affect you, but you can still do an awful lot of damage in that very short shelf life.
Exactly.
Now, next up, we move on to Gizmodo. And now, you know that film reboot of The Crow that the industry has sworn, no, seriously, it's happening for years now.
Mm-hmm.
In the category of, I can't believe I'm saying this, Gizmodo is reporting that the long-promised, long-delayed reboot has wrapped production.
Listen, how do you wrap production on a film that no one even knew you were in production on? What? How? Like, I almost want that to be a joke and be like, yeah, we wrap production. We close the production. We are done producing. You know, like, really? They filmed a Crow reboot?
Yep.
Well, no one was watching.
I think the interesting thing here is your reaction after your question answers your question.
Mm.
Because I think it's like, we knew that this was filming, but it started and stopped so many times that from the moment Bill Skarsgård was announced as being the lead in the movie,
oh my God,
everybody was kind of going, yeah, sure. Sure. We all knew it. We just refused to believe it.
Yeah. No, that, like, even right now, I'm like, show me it. I demand proof.
Yeah.
Bullshit until proven. Fascinating. We'll see if it gets through post-production.
Well, I want to say that logically, if they've come this far, then it'll get through post-production. But Batgirl's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We live in a world where, oh, your movie's done? Cool. I'm just going to put this on the shelf.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's starring Bill Skarsgård, directed by Rupert Sanders of Ghost in the Shell, and I believe the Foundation series on Apple TV. So, yeah, visually I liked Ghost in the Shell, but that connection kind of worries me.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed Foundation, so it's like, okay, that could be really good. We shall see. Because, yeah, Ghost in the Shell, it was a close remake that has a couple of really glaring issues that ruin it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it tried. It tried. God knows it tried. But why bother? Just go watch. And this is me talking. Go watch the original anime. I don't fucking give a shit about anime. Go watch the Ghost in the Shell anime if you must watch Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, as much as I, like I said, generally liked the live action movie, yeah, go to the anime first.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, at some point we're apparently going to get a live action version of The Crow. We don't know when. I hope to God it's good. but speaking as someone who enjoyed the original 94 movie, I've said it before and I'll say it again. For the love of all that is good and holy in cinema, do not do Eric Draven again.
They will. They will.
I would fully expect it. My issue is simply that we've had comic book Eric Draven, live action film Eric Draven, TV series Eric Draven. All good, now, but stop it.
And now you get Gritty Reboot Eric Draven.
I don't want Gritty I don't want it. I want that world, that mythology, with a different character.
It's going to be really interesting to see, like, there's another movie that, yes, it's based on a comic, but that comic was also heavily like influenced by Sandman. And it's like, will people watch The Crow when you can just have the Sandman? Which pasty bastard will win out? Robert Smith guesting as the referee.
Okay, that actually would be kind of amazing.
Right? Not a comb between them.
can we bring back Celebrity Deathmatch just for this?
Dream of the Endless versus The Crow. Oh my god. They just like stare at each other in the fucking rain. And that's it. Nothing would happen. Just brooding at each other aggressively.
Speaking of Apple TV series, did you ever see Terry Gilliam's Time Bandits?
Unfortunately, yes.
Would you be interested in a TV version of Time Bandits?
Unfortunately, yes, but because Terry's such a fucking prick, I have to say no. God damn it.
Okay.
I mean, that's the problem. I love Brazil. I love Brazil, and Time Bandits was fun, and Baron Munchausen, or whatever, was fun. But the truth is, he is a bigoted piece of shit. And unfortunately, it means I have to kill a childhood love.
Okay, I'll add one more thing to this pitch to see what happens. Mm. A Time Bandits TV series streaming on Apple TV and directed by Taika Waititi.
It's one of those things of like, and even Taika has some unfortunate history. He's gotten over, thankfully. But Terry hasn't. And until Terry either drops or learns to shut the fuck up, I unfortunately will have to skip that one. If, like, listen, it could be worse. If it was a Brazil series, I would be kicking myself so hard right now, just being like, God damn it! Why do I have morals? Fair. But I can do without Time Bandits until he drops dead. I mean, he's old. Same with John Cleese. That's why I'm just like, yeah, I'll watch Fawlty Towers when you're in your grave.
Fair. I've seen John Cleese on Twitter several times where I'm going, your heart's in the right place, but I'm pretty sure you don't actually know what you're doing.
He is a very ignorant old man, and now he's become everything that he used to make fun of, and it's just like, wow, you have no sense of irony. That's great. It's always fascinating to see when an old comedian stops being funny and becomes the joke.
Yeah. Or in Dave Chappelle's case, it's incredibly frustrating and angering.
Mm. Oh, and in semi-related to assholes on social media news, Graham Linehan's been kicked out of the production of the musical of Father Ted. They said, we can go ahead with this. You're not allowed to be involved. And so now he's going to like sue them under free speech, even though he's violated contract. So good luck, dumbass. He says he's broke as fuck. So like,
because
no one gives him any money. He lives on charity at this point. Charity for his hate. And yeah, he posted something the other day being like, I'm broke and I'm ruined. And instead of being like, maybe this is my mistake, he just doubles down on it. So it's like, okay, go fuck yourselves. You can all just spiral. upside, we might be getting Father Ted without the prick. And like, when
go.
I say without him, he would not get any money from it, seemingly. That's hilarious. And makes Father Ted, the musical, my Tony pick of the year. I don't care if the songs are good. I don't care if the script is literal dog turd on a page. Tony, 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 Tony. And you're not involved, Graham.
Back to the remake of Time Bandits. I have a cast list here from Gizmodo for those of you to whom this does appeal. This is being led by, of all people, and I say of all people just because this is not a name that I would have expected here. Lisa Kudrow as Penelope and Kal-El Tuck as the main character Kevin, a geeky kid who discovers a time warp in his closet.
I'm sorry, can we just go back for a moment? Did you say that child's name is Kal-El?
That's what the article says. Kal-El Tuck.
Like spelled correctly?
Yep.
Kal-El?
Yep.
Fascinating. Awesome. Kal-El. Okay, cool.
Now, this is literally the... Oh. Y'all, look up this kid on IMDb. He's kind of adorable. Yeah, looks like Time Bandits is going to be this kid's first major acting credit.
He doesn't look like a Kal-El.
I mean, maybe not, but I'm looking at him. It's like, yeah, I can see why you got picked because you are marketable as hell.
Yeah, that's an adorable kid. Who else is in this unfortunate clusterfuck? May it go the way of Dr. Parnassus and just be a fucking mess.
We have Charlene Yee from the Steven Universe. This is the point where I start butchering names. Tadig Murphy, Roger Jean Sengiyumva, and Rune Tamti. And I apologize to the three of you because I have probably messed up every single one of those in some way. Along with comedic actress and apparently staple in Taika Waititi Productions, Rachel House.
Decent. I know two of those people. Cool. Yeah. I look forward to watching that long after any such money goes to Terry.
Yeah.
The prick.
apparently Taika Waititi will direct the first two episodes of Time Bandits, and he co-wrote the pilot. So, yeah, like we said, this, could be interesting. I'm just checking the last paragraph because this is the only part where they really talk about Terry Gilliam. There's no mention of him being involved in this version.
He, however, created the idea, so yeah. He's definitely going to be getting fat stacks on the back end of it.
I was literally just about to say that this could be the equivalent of J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah. So, to fuck with him. To fuck, I say.
Oh, now... In also sad news, but in a different way. Remember we talked about last episode about how the Rogue Squadron had been pulled from Disney's release schedule?
Indeed.
And it seemed like it was because they were basically waiting for Patty Jenkins' schedule to open up.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek IV has been removed from Paramount's upcoming release slate.
I mean, I didn't expect that to be real since, I want to say, the second time they canceled it. The time travel with Chris Hemsworth story is too good to happen, and that's why we'll never get it. Having two Chrises on screen at the same time, Hollywood will never allow it. It was bad enough with the Avengers when you've got Evans and Hemsey sharing some screen time there, and like, you know, that almost ended cinema as we know it, as so many people on YouTube are want to tell us. You can't push cinema like that again. You can't do it. It's gotta kill everything.
They did.
Fuck it.
who was in the opening of Thor: Love and Thunder again?
Oh, no, Pratt doesn't count. Everyone knows Chris Pratt doesn't count. He's not a real Chris. He is the anti-Chris. You can pile in so much Chris, and so long as Chris Pratt appears there, he undoes all of the Chris. He ruins it all. He ruins all the Chris. Like everything else he touches.
Now,
except for Star-Lord. He's very good,
yeah,
Star-Lord.
Yeah, yeah, true. And also playing Mario, which...
I know sometimes... denounce that.
I know sometimes... They do voice casting for the name value. Like how I wasn't a fan of the voice casting in the recent Chip and Dale. But Mario...
Yeah, and I heard the one that's going around, and like, yeah, it's all right, but it's also like, I know for a fact that there are better Mario voices out there.
Oh yeah.
And so this just feels like fucking settling.
Now with this fourth Star Trek film and Rogue Squadron, like I said, it is a similar issue where Rogue Squadron, again, is waiting for Patty Jenkins' schedule to open up so that they have a director. Considering its success on TV and streaming right now, it's kind of amazing that I'm saying this, but the issue with this Star Trek IV movie is it can't hold on to a director.
And the truth is, Paramount barely gives a shit. Not about Star Trek. They love Star Trek right now. Star Trek's the tent pole, and then the surrounding four other poles of their big fat tent. Paramount Plus lives and dies by Star Trek. What they're no longer interested in is the Kelvin universe, because it's a dead end. It doesn't go anywhere. They got the rights back. Like, they managed to change the contract a couple of years ago that they can now have the Kelvin universe interact with aspects of the television and original movie universes, which is why, like, for a while there was a bunch of different Star Trek mobile games. And it's because some of them were using the TV original contract, and some of them were using the Kelvinverse contract, and they couldn't use each other's IP whatsoever. But within the last couple of years, they managed to rewrite it, they reorganized, and now all Trek is the same Trek. You can throw fucking old fat William Shatner on screen with Chris Pine on screen with the guy that they have doing it in Strange New World, and it's fine. It's not contractually gonna get in anyone's way, but no one really has much of a soft spot for those films. Like, the first one was great fun, and
yeah,
then Into Darkness exists, unfortunately, and then there's Beyond, which is decent.
Into Darkness is my we don't talk about that.
We just don't talk about that. And like, as much as everyone involved in it had a lot of fun, their careers are kind of going on different trajectories, and it's not 2009 anymore. Chris Pine doesn't need to be leading an action vehicle to try to get attention, and Zoe Saldana has too much else to do and make money on. Like, you know, she's one of the three main characters. They rearranged the triarchy of Star Trek and shoved her Uhura where Bones was, and it worked. But it's like, getting Nichelle Nichols to show up movie after movie after movie is one thing. It's a lot easier. Zoe Saldana has a lot more going on and pulling at her attention constantly. And even being one of the big three in that Star Trek is like, yeah, but she can go off and like be Gamora. Much, 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 much more money. Much, much, much more screen time. Screen time. Lines.
I do want to just stop you right there, specifically because you brought up the MCU, in that what apparently got Star Trek IV pulled from the schedule is the latest person to have been announced as the director was Matt Shakman, predominantly of WandaVision fame. What like just happened to Matt Shakman?
By all means, because
somebody got himself another job with a teeny tiny little independent low budget movie called The Fantastic Four.
Ah, so that's who's on it. Okay.
Shakman was announced at, I believe, D23 as being the director for the upcoming Fantastic Four movie.
Fair. Until I see photos, I ignore most Fantastic Four announcements because, Sure. What's Mark Webb doing?
Whereas I've seen enough Photoshop, I will even ignore the photos.
I mean, yeah, like that as well. And that's some pretty decent Photoshop.
Oh, that really was. That
they're pulling off. But yeah, I'll admit that I ignore anything Fantastic Four related because it's like, no, you can't try to trick me into your gingerbread house, kindly old witch lady. You're not going to eat me that easily.
Yeah, and for me with the Kelvinverse Star Trek, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, with my noting how there is always one aspect from the equivalent original movie that gets copied over into the Kelvin. As I've always said, I wanted this version of Star Trek to get to the fifth movie so that we could get the answer to what does God need with a starship?
No. No. It's bad. It's the bad. It's not worse than Into Darkness, but it's right next door. Sub Rosa. I will rewatch Sub Rosa twice. I would rather have to go through Sub Rosa twice than Final Frontier again.
My theory holds, because Nero's ship in the 09 movie is pretty much V'ger. Into Darkness? Into Darkness? If I have to explain it.
It's pretty fucking spot on. Beyond, however, very much takes your idea and throws it in the fucking trash.
There is one thing that happened. No. What happens to the Enterprise in the third movie of both versions?
I mean, okay, fine, but Search for Spock, it actually sticks for a little bit.
True.
You know? And by the end of that movie, they're like, no, it's fine.
The fourth movie and the proposed fourth movie. Those were both
time travel.
What? Yep.
Yeah.
So it holds. Right.
God. Like, you know what I'd love to see if they're going to just waste money like that? And I know that they're not. This canceling is the end of the series. It's done. They don't need the series anymore. They have Strange New Worlds. They can go and revisit any of those characters full on anytime that they want. That is why this is really getting sidelined. They don't need it anymore. Contractually, they're no longer beholden to it. And so it's dead. But it would have been funny to see them just like go all out and be like, fine. Shot for shot, line for line, we're redoing Voyage Home. And it's a complete, absolute, like Psycho level of recreation where they've got everything. Like when we could, we pulled out the exact same costumes. The exact same music cues. All of it. The same shots. If possible, the same kind of camera. The same stupid action bits. Like everything. Everything dumb is new again. Everything silly is present, 100% serious, and just do it shot for shot, and I would watch that. I would pay fat stacks to see that. I'm possibly the only one.
Oh, well, actually not quite, because from my end with that, on the one hand, tragically there's no checkoff, so there are certain moments from Star Trek IV you can't redo.
Oh, no. What you have is Zoe Saldana reads her line and there's dead silence. And then she reacts to Chekhov's line. You do the entire movie. But since, unfortunately, Anton Yelchin died, you simply don't have Chekhov there. But have it be like someone digitally removed him from the frame. So, like, at some point, Bones is leaning over an empty gurney, like hospital gurney.
Yeah.
Trying to administer fucking, I don't know, brain drugs to it. Yeah. Do that. Do not cut Anton Yelchin out of the film. Simply proceed as if he was already there.
But... What I was also going to say, that was conversely, every single exchange between Kirk and Spock from that original script I would be 100% down for seeing Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto take that on.
Oh, it'd be wonderful, because like as much as Leonard Nimoy was of course fantastic and defined the role, his deadpan humor was always a little too dry. Like, you had to think about it for a minute and be like, oh, he's making a joke. Oh God, I've forgotten his name. Zachary Quinto. Zachary Quinto, however, like, has that devilry to him. Like, he has the smirk, and you could see it in his eyes that it's this like, I'm making a joke. Whereas you have to process Leonard Nimoy making a joke first and be like, wait, did he just, damn, okay. Like, the way Zachary Quinto would say to hell with orders, and the way Leonard Nimoy would, is like, Nimoy,
yeah,
you get to the end and realize what was just been said. Quinto, he'll give it that look and be like, oh, here comes Spock's gonna be smarty. He's gonna be a smart ass. Here comes smart ass me, Spock.
Actually, as I'm thinking about it, and I just have to be scrolling through the article and saw a still from Strange New Worlds that made me think this. Zachary Quinto, like, wonderful as Spock, but I felt like that there were times where he was a little too human in the role.
I mean, he, you know, you've got three movies ultimately to portray this character.
Yeah.
And they give him a lot of action and aggressive moments. And it can be difficult to do full-on emotional restraint when your character is literally screaming something in someone's face. And, like, yeah, it works for the first one. Everything failed in Darkness, and I'm pretty sure, at least in Beyond, there's no forced moment where it's like, and then Spock gets angry! You know, like... Like,
yeah.
And then Hulk hulks out, of course, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. You don't always need to have Spock break.
Now, I'm just wondering this just because, like I said, no disrespect to Zachary Quinto, but because I think he's brought a better balance to the role, what if in this hypothetical movie we subbed in Ethan Peck?
Then you'd have to have someone sub in for, like, it's one of those things of, like,
yeah,
I'd really like to see his performance. If you're going to do that, then take everyone that they are setting up in Strange New Worlds. Like, wait a couple years until we have inevitably meet a very young Chekhov and, like, Sulu gets transferred in or something. And you know, a rake thin Scotty appears and is just like, I'm a size zero. You know, have them then move into doing it. You have to, like, you have to lift as one unit.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be one unit. Yeah.
No, fair. And the way that Star Trek IV's production has been going, we have time.
Yeah. No, it's dead. I called it. I think this corpse has been called years ago, and for some reason the coroner just won't show up.
For our last couple stories, as I said earlier, and now this is the part where we get back to the Marvel Universe, where the upcoming Armor Wars TV series is essentially pulling a reverse Hawkeye and will now instead be done as a movie.
Okay. I mean, like, I trust the Marvel method. If they feel that a full series would be drawing it out too much, I respect that, instead of trying to, like, beat as much money out of it as possible. If it is a matter of, like, moving it around time-wise, or you've completely changed the plot because of something in, like, Secret Invasion or whatever, also respect. I really like how they're not beholden whatsoever to any announcement when it comes to their content. They can literally come out one day and be like, turns out we're not doing that. We're going to do something else. Stay tuned, kids. Instead of it being like Warner Brothers canceling things and like, oh, you suck. It's just, ooh, editorial decisions. I wonder what that'll bring.
Yeah, now, where this was originally going to be a TV series, it was slated to come out right after the upcoming Secret Invasion. That, of course, is now not going to happen simply because with the switch to film, that pushes it kind of further down the production schedule. As far as I know, everybody that was attached to work on this as a TV series is still attached to do the film. They're just essentially restarting.
And that's fine. Like,
yeah,
good. Sounds good. It'll be tighter and possibly even have a higher budget. Plus, hey, it's nice to every now and then watch a movie starring Don Cheadle that isn't Hotel Rwanda.
Exactly. Jesus,
fuck, is that depressing. Amazing performance. It'll be nice to have another Don Cheadle movie to watch.
Now, apparently, and this I'm going off of memory, but I guess we're also going to be getting Sam Rockwell will be coming back to do...
Oh, Justin Hammer. Yeah.
Thank you. He'll be coming back as Justin Hammer.
I've heard that he's hinted that he'd love to, which in Marvel speak means that yes. Otherwise, yeah, you wouldn't be saying this, you know?
Exactly.
The same as with Anthony Mackie was like, man, I show up when I'm told to. And it's like, okay, so you've been told to show up, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. You know, if you are answering anything to the press, it's because you have been put in front of the press. Don't fucking Andrew Garfield me and lie to my face.
And also, I think there's just a simple fact where I guess one of the biggest selling points with this as the series was going to be the opportunity to show off all these different designs of armor and so forth. And I think if that's your biggest pitch or the biggest selling point that we have right now, then you're probably better off going with a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can, like, that's the thing. You don't want to drag out a concept too long with the MCU Disney Marvel shows. They have managed so far to find the right balance for, like, timing and pacing. You do not, under any fucking circumstance, want to run into the Netflix MCU issue where it's like, oh, this should have ended 3 episodes ago. And, like, you know, trust the method. I have concerns about how long Daredevil Born Again is going to be. Trust the method. The second half of Daredevil season 2 sucked fucking balls. Well, what can I say?
With the upcoming Daredevil Born Again series and that 18 episode length, what I've been wondering literally from the moment that was announced.
Mm.
Yes, the season is 18 episodes. That doesn't mean it's going to be one 18-episode story, necessarily. Like, I've been wondering, could it be, like, 3 6-episode stories that are somehow connected?
It'll probably be something like that. Like, yeah. If not building up some new or returning secondary characters, then I bet they'll use it the same way Netflix did, but better. We're going to see the Defenders again. And, like, maybe there'll be a Defender-heavy one. There'll be a Frank Castle one-off, if not a couple of episodes. Because, you know, Frank's still there. I'd love to see the storyline Welcome Back Frank happen in the background of a Daredevil film. That would be really cool. Where it's like, listen, we're not going to do a Punisher series outright because, you know, complicated. But if Frank's just running around in the background and essentially we get the couple of issues where Daredevil actually interacts with him in those Garth Ennis runs, that'd be hilarious.
Well, as I understand it, there is going to be a Punisher rather series of some sort. I don't know when John Bernthal is going to do it, but my understanding was that that's the plan. And your idea of having him operating in the background during Daredevil, yeah, that would be a great way to set something up there.
Yeah, just have a bunch of like little things like mobsters eaten alive by polar bears as like a headline that one of them's reading, like just something, stuff like that, where it's like you can follow it the entirety of like Welcome Back Frank from episode 1 until like episode 9, and then like he opens a door and there's Frank bleeding out and just falls on him or something.
God, I had one more MCU story. There was one more thing that was recently announced. Oh, what the hell was it again? Oh, bugger, why can't I think of it?
Hey, everyone. We're extremely sad to have missed D23, but we've been working very hard on the next Deadpool film for a good long while now. I've had to really search my soul on this one. His first appearance in the MCU obviously needs to feel special. We need to stay true to the character, find new depth, new motivation, new meaning. Every Deadpool needs to stand out and stand apart. It's been an incredible challenge that has forced me to reach down deep inside. And I have nothing. Yeah, just completely empty up here. And terrifying. But we did have one idea. Hey, Hugh, you want to play Wolverine one more time?
Yeah, sure, Ryan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's been promising it for years. The bromance has been developing, but Hugh Jackman is finally coming to the MCU.
I like how the presumed approach of this is like, yes, he will be in the MCU, but yes, and yes, he's going to be playing Wolverine Logan, but he's not going to be playing the MCU's Wolverine Logan.
Like
it's going to be Wade drags him across the fucking multiverse or some shit. Maybe there'll be like 100 variations of Wolverine played by Hugh Jackman, and it just like reaches ludicrous levels. Like, I don't know, Deadpool has to kill Wolverine. It's like Deadpool versus Wolverine, Dawn of whatever the fuck. And it's just Deadpool going through the multiverse, capping Wolverines who will not be his friend. And like half the joke being that he's well aware that I shot him in the head, and then I moved on. It's like, you know that doesn't kill him, right? And it's like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah.
So there's just like 100 multiverses of Wolverine. Like, I've got a fucking headache. Some asshole in a red suit shot me in the head. Wade!
Oh, yeah. And like, I know years back, I know Hugh Jackman had said, yeah, I'd come and play Wolverine in the MCU if they called me. But I think you had to have the, like, this is just that perfect moment of elements coming together. Because I think really to bring Jackman back, you needed that one perfect, insane, I'd be stupid to say no to this idea.
But also at the same time, make it's off-center enough that there's no threat of him having to do this for another decade.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not becoming the Wolverine in MCU. You like the Professor X that appeared in Multiverse of Madness. You're a reference for fan service, and by the end of this, you're done. Just so that people can know that, like, oh yeah, it's out there, but but you haven't seen our version yet. Our version. And more importantly, no, Hugh, you don't have to do the chicken diet. Only one more movie. One more movie of chicken diet.
And the fact that he's willing to do the chicken diet one more time for this, I think says something about how good this is going to be.
Right. And now, a couple of reactions online to it have been really funny because I don't know why, but some people took it really aggressively, like negatively, and they're like, oh, fuck him. You know, he's just trying to like stay on top and like keep having a career and like, you know, he'd be nothing without it. And it's like, I know that comic book fans don't necessarily tend to be well-read people, but no. The man is the king of Broadway.
Exactly.
He doesn't fucking need any of this. None of this is a paycheck. All of this is fun. If he wanted a paycheck, he would never get off the literal stage. Hugh Jackman don't need this. He chooses to. And don't you ever fucking forget it.
Also with that, I do want to take a second to address one thing that I keep hearing. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to let Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman address this themselves, because even though people keep bringing this one thing up, they've already answered it. So stop.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
You have questions.
Yes. I had a lot of questions. I'm sure you had a lot of questions, but rest assured, we're going to answer them right now. Like, for example, how is Wolverine alive after Logan?
Logan takes place in 2029, totally separate thing. Mm-hmm. Logan died in Logan, not touching that. What actually happens in our film is these two... Thank you, Kevin Feige.
Love you, Kevin Feige. Thank you, MCU.
Oh, cannot wait. Cannot wait. And if you cannot wait for the next riveting episode of Real Geeks, well, you're just going to have to. I'm trying to edit as fast as I can, god damn it. But like, share, subscribe, get in contact with us. Send us an email. Send Mike an email.
As I mentioned a while back, I would honestly love to do a B-roll that's just nothing but answering email.
We can answer someone else's email or just junk email.
I've seen what our email account looks like right now, so don't tempt me. Because that is a show we can honestly do. Oh, but if you want to save yourselves from listening to us read junk mail, you can send us an email at realgeekshfx@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at realgeekshfx. You know, again, if brevity is more your thing, I can be found as the Merit Time Lord on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Or themaritimelord@gmail.com. And if you wanted to be really generous and maybe financially support the show and thereby help Crash edit these episodes and get them out faster, you could do that at...
Yeah, you can do that at patreon.com/hereego. Or you can find the link to that wonderful money-making endeavor on Twitter at Friday in Halifax or everywhere else at Crash and Burn. Give me money.
So with that, next up, if I remember our release schedule correctly, our next review should be Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And considering our schedule and plans for upcoming reviews, technically this is, I think, going to be the last B-roll for a little while. Because...
yeah, we're going to have to rush through a few.
We still have two Disney episodes and five horror films planned for October, and it's already October. So yeah, the B-roll is going to have to stop for a bit.
In our defense, we got hit with a hurricane that stopped the region for 2 weeks. There are still people without power here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's be honest. There's part of the region that's still stopped.
Yeah. So, apologies, but hey, take it up with Mother Nature.
Yeah, we didn't want to, but as much as I enjoy doing these news and just BSing shows, they're going to have to go on hold for a bit.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice.
Real episodes get way more listens. But until then, and until Roger Rabbit, oh God, I can't wait. Goodbye.
See ya.